Wednesday, the 9th of November 2016, an historic day in many ways. And of course, one of the big stories today is the US election results. Donald Trump defying the polls, defying the odds to become president-elect of the United States of America. He'll be the 45th. Joining me on the line right now, live from the States, is our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, first of all, your reaction to what happened overnight?
Well, it's absolutely stunning, Charles. I've literally had about an hour and 15 minutes sleep, and I woke up a short while ago and thought, oh, so it wasn't actually a dream. I'm now watching the sunrise coming up over the White House on a drizzly Wednesday morning here in Washington, D.C. The lights have started going on inside the White House. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, the first family were burning the midnight oil like all of us last night, watching those election returns come in. The same President Obama who had argued that he would view Hillary Clinton's defeat as a personal insult to him. Well, if that's the way indeed he wants to view this, he has absolutely been insulted by the nation's voters. And Donald Trump is now the man who is going to succeed him in the Oval Office, and a man who is pledged to undo so much of Barack Obama's central political legacy. I mean, this is an astonishing tectonic plate crashing moment here in the United States, not only because Donald Trump has secured the keys to the presidency in a come-from-behind election victory that has once again torn up the political rule book and made it clear that the conventional wisdom espoused by pundits and analysts and reporters, including me, got it all absolutely wrong. But Donald Trump will be governing with Republican majorities in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. For the Democratic Party, that is an absolute total nightmare. I can give you some of the reaction that I've been receiving from one Democrat closely connected to both the Clintons. I am furious, he writes, not at Trump, but at my party for allowing this to happen. He describes Hillary Clinton as a deeply flawed candidate, totally out of touch with the electorate. It is our party's fault. We let her bully us into clearing the field for her. And to be fair to that particular Democrat, he has argued privately for many, many months that Hillary Clinton was a flawed candidate who ran the risk of defeat at the hands of Donald Trump or any other Republican. I've also received a message from a former senior figure within George W. Bush's government, a Republican who was not backing Donald Trump, who was shocked by everything that Donald Trump espoused on the campaign trail. And he sent me an email this morning telling me that he believes that this is a second day that will forever live in infamy. The first day, of course, that lives in infamy here in the United States, the attack on Pearl Harbor. So that gives you a sense of how one non-Trump supporting Republican views the outcome of this election. Donald Trump, as you know, in his address to supporters up in New York last night, promised to try and unify the nation, urged the nation to unite around him now and start healing the divisions that have been on such open display here throughout the course of this presidential election campaign. But even as he was on his feet, supporters of Hillary Clinton were down at the White House jeering and booing and shouting profanities about Donald Trump healing this country and bringing everybody together, especially around his personality and his viewpoints, is going to be an exceptionally difficult task.
Well, I want to talk about that, actually, because he's tweeted to say, "Such a beautiful and important evening. The forgotten man and woman will never be forgotten again. We will all come together as never before." This was never really an election about politicians. This was about people, according to him, wasn't it? He wanted to almost go back to the basics, really.
Well, you know, and in many ways, he's not wrong. I mean, Donald Trump's genius, I think, at the beginning of this campaign was actually not political. It was cultural. He understood that this was a country that was ready for its electoral and political process to be turned into the political equivalent of a reality TV show. He saw that before anybody else, and he quickly won the complicit support of the major media organizations here, who realized that Donald Trump attracted big audiences to television, news programs, therefore larger commercial revenues. And as a result, you had people like Les Moonves, the chairman of CBS, during the course of the primary campaign saying, well, he may be bad for America, but he's great for CBS. That allowed him to eclipse all his opponents in the race for the Republican Party's presidential nomination. And then he saw his political opening, and his political opening was to become the man who promised to be the representative and the change agent for the common guy out there, for the common guy in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Virginia or any of those battleground states who was just fed up to the back teeth with 8 years of Barack Obama and what Donald Trump argues was Barack Obama's exporting of American opportunities and American jobs to countries overseas. And in many cases, he also found support for his anti-immigration message and his pledge to build a wall along America's southern border with Mexico. That's the magic, if you like, of the campaign that he put together. And he saw those openings, and other people, particularly here in Washington, D.C., did not see the meteor coming until it smashed into the center of the city and essentially created a metaphorical crater right in front of that White House that I'm looking at right now from my balcony position here.
And very quickly, in sort of 10 seconds, because I do have to go to the travel, hopefully they'll still be there. is this just a big middle finger from the common man to the political elite?
Well, that's certainly what one sort of seasoned observer, Michael Moore, the left-wing filmmaker, has argued this is. He said several days ago that this was going to be exactly that, the biggest middle finger that the working man has shown to the American political establishment in the modern age. And that political establishment is reeling from that message here this morning.
Fascinating to talk to you. Thank you. Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent for LBC London News.